Hello and welcome to this podcast looking at new product development in the food and drink industry. I'm your host, my name's Kerry Allison, and I work in brand creation and market development for entrepreneurial startups and new product launches. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Alistair Trail.
Hi, Kerry. I am a senior food and drink consultant who works primarily with our development chefs on new product development project. My role is to understand new trends, identify projects with SMEs and entrepreneurs, and try and find the funding to deliver these projects. I also have an interest in sustainability and the circular economy.
Brilliant. Nice to have you, Alistair. And we are also joined today by Kerry Ritchie.
Hi, Kerry. I work with businesses to help them define their strategy and their place in the market. So this is about identifying new opportunities, exploring their unique selling points, and helping to co-create their stories and identify ideas and ways they can grow their business. Basically helping to create new strategies and plans for these businesses. So really happy to be with you today.
I think that with the pair of you together, we're definitely going to learn an awful lot about new product development. And hopefully this podcast can be a really useful resource for any businesses out there considering getting started with NPD. So before we launch into this interview with Alistair and Kerry, I'm going to take a second to speak to a business who's actually been through the process of new product development with Alistair and Mark. So I've got Kirsty on the line here. Hi, Kirsty.
Hi, Kerry.
Do you want to tell us who you are, where you come from? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, Kerry. I'm Kirsty Campbell, and I'm the director of Sea Buckthorn Scotland, which is a community interest company we set up in December 2018. We forage for and make juices with wild sea buckthorn berries that grow in East Lothian around the coast. The idea is to help the council to manage the invasive species and to make minted delicious drinks.
That sounds incredibly interesting. So do I understand it correctly? You approached Alistair and Mark about a new product development.
Yes, that's right. I'd had a chat with Alistair as he had some previous experience of working with sea buckthorn whilst he was, I think, with Interface. And I was really excited to be able to talk to him and with his knowledge and so on. We were able to organise then an Interface grant to cover some work together.
And how did that work go, Kirsty? What happened?
Well, it was very straightforward, really. Once Alistair and I had worked on the forms together, where he was very helpful, I went across to meet with Mark and Alistair together, and we chatted through the ideas that I had, which was to do a fermented sea buckthorn drink. I hadn't got a clear idea of whether it was going to be some kind of kombucha or a ginger beer or a kefir or what have you. But the great thing was that Mark was open to trying different things with our ingredients and seeing what would actually lend itself best to the juice so that it wasn't too much prescribed from the start. I really appreciated their enthusiasm, their knowledge and, you know, expertise in different types of, let's say, different ferments, different yeasts and so on. I went away, I sent them some samples up and of the juice, and Mark started brewing all sorts of different things. He sent I think three different rounds at least of the different samples that he was producing, and then it didn't take us too long to come out with two fantastic drinks, which are very, both incredibly tasty, a sea buckthorn ginger beer and a sea buckthorn water kefir.
And overall, would you say you were happy with the NPD process? Is it something you would do again?
Almost definitely. It was excellent. It was very straightforward communication. They're both, as I say, very knowledgeable and enthusiastic, which is basically the foundation of what you need when you're working with any sort of colleges or universities on projects. And there was very good, yeah, just good, participation from everyone all the way along. And Alistair wrapped it up very nicely at the end. And we also had some support, which I was very grateful, from SRUC, also in marketing and communications and so on afterwards. So that was a great bonus to have on top of that.
So as you've just heard there, Kirsty Campbell from C. Buckthorn Scotland went through the NPD process with the team at SRUC Food and Drink. So Kerry, I was just wondering, can you outline the process for any company looking at a new product development for the first time? What should they expect?
Sure, thanks Kerry. Well, first of all, usually the new product development process starts with an idea generation. So that can come from research. You've been looking at the market and you think there's an opportunity there. So you start to create that idea. For bigger companies, that might be part of their strategy in terms of new product development. It might be a stretch or it might be a range extension. But let's focus on the smaller businesses. It usually starts with an idea and you look at the idea, you research it, you evaluate it, and you identify if there's a real gap in the market. And if there is a real gap, then you start to develop and think about that concept a little bit more. Then you get to the real nitty-gritty of product development, and that's where Alistair and his team come in. But essentially that's around recipe creation, testing, potentially reformulating until that product is correct and right for the market. You might also then want to do a little bit of screening with testing the product with consumers and customers alike, and important to differentiate between the customer, the consumer and the customer that might be buying it. Following that, there's a lot of business analysis around making sure that you can make the product profitably, you can sell it profitably. So effectively, it ends with that commercialization of the product and the pitch and the sale into potential customers.
That's a really nice overview for us, Kerry. You mentioned something there. I just wondered if you could elaborate on it a little bit further, the difference between a customer and a consumer.
Sure. As we know today, many consumers are buying online, and many businesses sell direct to consumers. So if you're creating a product and you're selling in that market, you have to make sure that this is a product that the consumer wants. And then if you're selling your product through either a restaurant or a retail outlet, you've got to hit a number of the requirements of that buyer, that customer. So I'm trying to differentiate. Your product has to be demanded by the consumer, the person that's going to be eating this product or drinking this product, but it also has to have enough of the characteristics to actually make sure it fits with the retail or the hospitality outlet. So for a retailer, for example, that focuses on sustainable and environmentally friendly products, then they're the sort of characteristics you might want to think about building into your product.
Fab, thank you for that, Kerry. So by all accounts, it sounds like there are quite a few steps to consider in the run-up to the product development, but then there's also a lot of activity to consider once that product has been developed. So Alistair, I was wondering, how much time would a company have to think about investing into the process? And perhaps more importantly for some businesses, how much cash might they have to invest?
Thanks, Kerry. We would generally advise that companies should spend some significant time on their new product development activities. It's really important that business understand the new food trends, potential markets, and adapt their current products or to create more new products to meet this demand. It's important to be constantly evolving to maintain their market share or to try and increase that market share. There's also the opportunity for companies to look at reforming their products for health or new innovative flavors that can help boost their products' market reach. When specifically talking about projects with SRUC, we would envisage that a new product development project would take approximately 3 months to deliver. That's on the basis that the company already has a market opportunity and an idea for a product, and that's the time it would take for us to work with our development chefs in the kitchens to prepare that product so it's ready to be developed for market. From the funding side, there's actually funding available that can support the new product development work, especially if you're working with academic institutions like ourselves. The Scottish Funding Council, through Interface, offer a £5,000 grant called an Innovation Voucher, which can be used by the academic institution to deliver the project. This has to be matched by the company by £5,000, but this is an in-kind contribution, so no actual cash is needed. And what we mean by an in-kind contribution is that would be the company would attend meetings, be that virtually, or at our development kitchens to talk about the product, what they want, supply ingredients, and then deliver feedback to ourselves on how that prototype product is being developed. They may decide to do some tasting sessions with their customers or their team to give us feedback, but there's no actual cash is involved in that project. Thanks.
That sounds really interesting. So just for those listening who may be interested in following up that funding, can you clarify, you said it was called Interface? How would a company find out more about that funding?
So the funding is called Innovation Voucher, and it's funded, it's supplied by the Scottish Funding Council, and it is delivered by an organisation called Interface. And there's information about Interface on their webpage. So if you just Google Interface, you can see what the funding is available. Their role in Interface is to identify opportunities to collaborate with academic institutions, and they can signpost you to the right university to work with, or they can let you know about the funding and how you can apply for that. But that funding is something that the guys here at SRUC and myself will take you through and help you apply for that funding. So if there was a project and you wanted to work with our chefs at SRUC, we would write 70-80% of that application form and get the funding as needed. The key criteria for that funding is that it is for SMEs operating in Scotland, and the project has to be innovative. So it needs to be something that's new for the Scottish market, or something that uses maybe new ingredients or something that makes it different to what's already on the market.
That sounds really interesting. Thank you for sharing that information. And if a business didn't want to go for a funded option, they had the cash, they were ready to go, and they just wanted to work with someone to get a new product out there as quickly as possible, does SRUC do that as well?
Of course. Yeah, we're happy to work with any companies that want to work with us, and we can cost up a project so they can work directly with ourselves and not have the potential restrictions of what the funding criteria is. So we're more than happy to do that. We've actually been working with some larger companies that are maybe too big to apply for the Innovation Voucher funding. So yeah, we're always keen to explore opportunities for direct consultancy work. There's also potentially other funding out there that could be available, and we'd be happy to work with the companies to understand if there is other funding from other suppliers that could support the work.
That's fab, Alistair. It sounds like a no-brainer. Working with you guys makes it totally easy for the company to get involved. Kerry, I wanted to ask you, what kind of things should a business be asking themselves before they think about investing that time or money into a new product development project?
Thanks, Kerry. I think the main thing, the key thing, is to identify if there is a real market opportunity. There's a big danger that people go off, they have a fantastic idea, and they assume because they like it, then everyone else will like it. So the first thing to do is actually make sure there's a real opportunity there. It addresses the trends in the market, the demands of the market, and also thinking about the future. Think about the longevity of these trends and of the product you'll be creating, because you'll be investing money, but also time, your energy, and your enthusiasm in this. So you want to make sure it's got a future. And we touched before on in terms of the consumer and the customer needs. I think the other thing to think about is, can you fulfill the opportunity and can you do it profitably? Does it fit with your business? Does it fit with your personal aspirations? If it's important for an entrepreneur or a micro business to check that, because this will take a lot of time, it will take a lot of patience, it will take a lot of input and investment. The other things I would think about are things like, is it relevant to your business? Is it relevant to your business strategy? You know, it's got to make sense for your business and your brand. So think about that. And one of the things I would always say to a business embarking on new product development is, are you going to enjoy the journey? It will be a journey. There will be some very, very frustrating points along the way. So if you've got to make sure this is something you really want to do and you really believe in before you embark upon that new product development journey. I hope that answers your question, Gary.
It certainly does. Anna, do you have any personal recommendations for how to deal with those bumps in the road? Is that a large cup of coffee, a bit of mindfulness?
You know, I think it's both of those things, and also remember to keep your eye on the prize. I think, you know, especially with the smaller, the micro businesses, these businesses, you know, they rely so much on the character, the personality and the character of the person that's running them. So I think just keep your eye on the long game and believe in what you're doing.
That's some fantastic advice. Thank you very much for that, Kerry. So I'm really interested to hear what some of the most exciting new product development projects you've been involved with have been. So maybe Alistair, do you have anything that immediately springs to mind? Anything you've really enjoyed working with?
Yes, I think there's been some fantastic projects that we've had the privilege to work with some really interesting and innovative companies to help them develop their products. One company that comes to mind is a company called Planet Cuckoo, who are based in Edinburgh, and they have developed a vegan frittata dish from Persia, which does not actually include any eggs, so it's a vegan alternative, and they've got a fantastic product, and they came to us with some issues with their product because they're wanting to move to the retail sector, and we're finding difficult to upscale their recipe for that, and they're having issues with water retention in their products. So they came to us through Interface, and we applied for funding to look at ways that we could alter their recipe or look at alternative packagings that could retain the moisture in their product but make it suitable for the retail market. So our chef, Mark Barker, spent a bit of time with them analysing their recipe, looking at alternative ingredients, looking at dried ingredients and so forth, and ended up looking at a packaging solution where he inserted a film into the packaging which stopped the water loss, which was a fantastic and simple solution but made a huge difference to the company. And this one, the reason I enjoy talking about this company and enjoyed this project is because it's made a big difference to them, and they've really grown from that project and now selling to a lot of different retailers in Edinburgh. So if you're based in Edinburgh and you know Margiotta's or a few other shops, you can go and then you can see that their vegan cuckoo products are on the shelf there. So it's very tasty as well, I might add. Another project which very exciting, which we're involved in, was with a farm shop near Aberdeen in Aberdeenshire called Castleton Farm. We had a project with them. They came to us with looking for ideas to develop products they can use from their waste fruit created on farm. So we set up a brief with our development chefs to try and create some innovative products that could sell in their farm shop and they could sell elsewhere. And two products we came up with. One was an ambient strawberry tart jelly, which is a jelly that you don't have to keep in the fridge and it will last for a significant time. And that's fantastic. It can good to go on strawberry tarts and to other products. I really like it on toast. And another one, a product which we developed with them, is some fruit vinegars for salads. So they've got a strawberry and a raspberry vinegar, which again is another fantastic product that our chefs developed with them. And they currently are on sale through their retailers and through their own farm shop. So that just really gives you a flavour of the projects that we have worked on. We currently work on about 7 to 8 projects a year with multiple companies in different areas, from bakery to free from products and so forth. So we're always interested to work with new innovative companies, entrepreneurs that have got ideas for a new product, and try and help them on that journey to get that product to market.
It's really interesting to hear you discuss both of those. They sound absolutely fascinating. I also think that the Castleton strawberry jelly is a dangerous one for me to discover, because I imagine that my lockdown waistline is going to increase even further when I start enjoying that on toast. One of the things I picked up from what you've said there is that the new product development process isn't necessarily just solely about creating a brand new product. It is, as you mentioned before, perhaps reformulation, but you also caught some product improvements in terms of the packaging for Planet Cuckoo.
That's correct. Yeah. So there's three type of projects that we really focus on. One really is working with companies to try and overcome a technical challenge. So the example of the Planet Cuckoo one that we've worked on, and there's other companies we've worked with that have got a recipe that they've got, but they just can't get it to the right texture, right taste that they want, or they're looking to upscale that recipe from their kitchens to more large scale production. So they need some help to overcome that. The second type of projects that we work in are with companies that are looking to reformulate their products to try and make them healthier or to target a new market. We've worked with a number of companies to try and reduce the amount of salt in their products or to reduce the sugar content in looking at natural sweeteners. We've actually done some very exciting work looking at seaweed as a salt replacement with a few different companies, which is a great way of reducing the salt content in products but still getting that nice seaweed salt taste. And then the third projects that we work on are with companies that have got an entirely new product that they want to develop, or they've got a product that they want to incorporate Scottish ingredients into. So, for example, we've been working on companies that have developed a seaweed drink or a seaweed dashi.
That sounds a lot more involved than maybe some people initially thinking about new product development would realise. Thanks very much for taking the time to explain the differences in those types of projects. I find it really interesting listening to you discuss some of the different businesses, concepts and ideas that you've been working with. And I'm perhaps starting to see some themes or trends emerge. So, Kerry, I was just wondering, are there any overarching trends, themes or innovations that you're starting to see in the food and drink industry relating to new product development?
There's loads of different trends at the moment, and Alistair, I'll leave Alistair to talk about some of the main ones, but for me, the ones that I'm particularly fascinated with and are particularly high on this sort of agenda at the moment are the links to local, that whole sort of products that are based in their locality, they're linked to heritage, they're linked to local culture, and also sometimes linked with that in terms of natural and sustainable and environmental aspects of products. So that's quite an interesting theme at the moment, especially as we, when we are sometimes in lockdown and when we've got particularly big celebrations coming up, that whole thing around nostalgia and tradition is really quite important. The other thing I'd like to highlight before I pass over to Alistair is the sort of healthy aspects of products. We've seen a lot of developments in terms of proactive health, health for the elderly, whether it's bespoke products or it's potentially an age-related health aspect. But that healthy theme is really important. And linked to lockdown, of course, is hygiene. And that brings into play things around product packaging and stuff like that. So lots and lots of different trends. I think Alistair's probably got a very, very long list, and I think we should probably ask him as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. Yeah, there has been a number of different food trends that we've been working on over the last wee while. I suppose one of the main ones that we've been working on is the free-from market and looking at vegan alternatives or free-from products that are popular today. For example, we've been working closely with a company that's been developing an aquafaba product, which is an egg white substitute. And there's also been increased demand now for alternative dairy products like milks. And we've been working with companies to develop a Scottish oat milk, because there's no Scottish oat milk on the market yet. And I think there's a huge opportunity in Scotland because we've got some fantastic oats in this country. As Kerry mentioned, we do a lot of work with healthy or reformulating product. As I mentioned before, we've done a lot of work with seaweed as a salt replacement and reducing sugar. Another popular one that we've been working on maybe a couple of years ago, but it's still prevalent today, is fermented foods. We've done projects with kefirs and kombuchas. And that links us nicely to another one which we've been working on, which is the adult non-alcoholic soft drinks market. We think there's a huge opportunities for products in that area, special people that are going to restaurants and are maybe driving and don't want to drink fizzy juice or fruit juice at dinner. They want to have a sophisticated adult non-alcoholic drink. So I think there's huge demand for that, and things like kombuchas and shrubly vinegar drinks I can meet that market quite nicely. And we're also seeing a surge in people looking at snackification, looking at the snack market, ready-to-eat market. We've been working with companies trying to develop eat-on-the-go type products from breakfast products and so forth. And as Kerry mentioned, I think with lockdown and the current COVID-19 pandemic, there is a real interest from the consumer in where food comes from, traceability, and also hygiene and packaging. And I think the consumer are really interested now in where products come from, where ingredients come from, and that real link to local food and trying to use the local supply chain and support the local manufacturers and growers that may be struggling during this pandemic.
That's really fascinating, Alistair. When you discuss consumers looking to support local businesses, local producers, and use, you know, local, healthy, safe ingredients that have real provenance, it makes me ponder, what does the industry do in order to support those local producers and those local businesses to be able to fulfill that need? So you touched on funding earlier with Interface, but is there anything else that industry can do for companies? Is there training, support, anything like that available?
Yeah, so I mentioned the Interface Innovation Voucher funding, which is available for companies that want to collaborate with academia to do projects, and ourselves and a few other academic institutions will be delighted to do NPD projects with companies using that method. There's also other organisations out there that offer funding. Scottish Enterprise can offer funding to support this activity. They previously had a by design grant, but that currently isn't available at the moment, but we're hopeful that will come back soon. And that can give funding up to 70% for companies to look at design opportunities, be that marketing or branding of their product or packaging, but can also actually look at their new product development activity. And we can be subcontracted, or other organisations can be subcontracted to deliver that work using that funding. There's also other support organisations like Scotland Food and Drink and the Scotland Food and Drink Federation. And the Scotland Food and Drink have just released a reformulation for health advice tool, where companies can go on to that site and input the products they have and what type of support that they're looking for, if it's to reduce the sugar or reduce the salt, and they will provide you with guidance notes and user guides, that are specific to your sector and to your product. So that's a really good starting point to get that information that you need to how to start going through that reformulation of that product development journey.
And Kerry, Richie, from your point of view, is there anything that industry provides companies or businesses in terms of that market research and thinking about the strategy and making decisions before they launch into the actual product development?
Yeah, I mean, this is really quite an interesting space. In Scotland, food and drink companies can actually access a lot of support from people like ourselves, we can help with the research and we can certainly help with the training. We've got a few free webinars, pre-recorded webinars on our website that people can access. But also industry organisations. There is Scotland Food and Drink, the industry leadership body, and the various sector organisations. You've also got Food and Drink Federation Scotland. All of these organisations can provide different support. And certainly, I think in Scotland, there's a lot of work that has been done in terms of market opportunity for the different sectors. So you've got the various industry-wide strategies, but then you do have specific sector strategies for like the pig sector or for like venison. And they will have identified some of the key opportunities and the key trends. So fit that with the experience you've got at SIUC and actually you start to see quite a nice support package there for businesses in this sector and businesses wanting to develop products.
And I guess just to round off the topic of support and advice, if each of you, Alistair and Kerry, could give one top tip to industry, to any company thinking about new product development, what would it be? Alistair, let's come to you first.
Yeah, my top tip would be to try and understand the market and the demand for your product or your idea before you actually start doing the new product development or start developing the recipe and the product in the kitchens. We have worked with a number of companies that have developed some fantastic, really tasty, healthy products, but have really struggled in trying to get that to sell that product because they didn't do that market analysis beforehand to see if there's actually demand from the consumer, because there's no point in making a product that the consumer doesn't want or isn't going to buy. So I would definitely really stress that the importance of knowing the market and knowing if there is demand there for that product before you go through the timely process of actually developing that product.
And that's maybe asking the tough question, who cares, right?
Yes, exactly. But as I said, there's you have to make something that there is demand and what the consumer wants. And yeah, and if the consumer doesn't want it, then there's really no point in making it.
Thanks, Alistair. And Kerry, do you have a top tip?
Yeah, I think Alistair's tip actually is the absolute top tip. There's no point in creating something for which there is no demand. But my tip is linked to that, and that would be that as you are thinking about the new product and as you are thinking and looking at the market demand, think about your pitch. How will you eventually sell this product, either directly to the consumer or to the buyer in a retail outlet or hospitality? So start thinking about that pitch from the outset. Put yourself in their shoes. And coming back to exactly what you said there, Kerry, why should they care? So that starts to make you think in terms of your new product, but also in terms of the uniqueness, how unique that is and its unique selling point. So certainly think about that right from the outset. It will build, it will change, but get your head into that space from the outset. Thank you.
Alistair and Kerry, it's been really great to have this conversation with you today. I think we've gained some really useful insight, and this will be a valuable resource for businesses considering new product development. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kerry. Real pleasure.
Absolutely love being part of this. Thank you very much for involving me.
I caught up with Mark Barker, who's one of our development chefs at SRUC. You will have heard Alistair and Kerry mention Mark throughout that interview, so I wanted to reach out to him to get his perspective on new product development and, from a technical point of view, some of the things he loves, some of the things he maybe doesn't love so much, and his top tips for you as a business.
Okay, so you asked me what would be my most interesting project. So it's really hard to pick a favourite because they're so varied and so different. I suppose one of them would be a company called Alston Drinks wanted to do a distilled non-alcoholic drink, completely new. I knew nothing about distillation, nothing about the process, nothing about the science involved, nothing about the extraction of essential oils, hydrosols. You know, so it was a real voyage of discovery for me. Something I had to teach myself from scratch. Again, part of MPD or part of Food and Drink MPD is this voyage of discovery that you go on. So if I'm coming across a process that I've never done before, then it's researching it and understanding it. Suppose that was a good one. Another one would be lighthouse seaweed. Again, really, this is the one that got me interested in seaweed and its functional applications. You know, again, I knew very little about seaweed. I'd used it in cookery before. I'd used it as a flavoring, as an additive, but I knew nothing else about it. I mean, I can remember the first attempts, not that I've ever tasted it or drunk it. They came out like lavatory cleaner. But not that I've ever drunk lavatory cleaner, but it certainly smelt like it. So, you know, to come up with a drink that tasted good, that smelled good, again, that developed, the more the project went on, the more I learned about the functionality of seaweed, the more I got into it. It was when I was introduced to microencapsulation and I got to understand about microencapsulation. So, you know, unfortunately, again, like house and drinks, it wasn't a project that actually I don't think has made it to market yet. Again, another one that I really enjoyed or already found challenging was Aquafaba, a company called Diamond Spider. They were looking to make it, well, they already had a recipe there. So, again, this was a reformulation. This wasn't so much making a project from scratch. But it was a puzzle because it was finding out why something didn't work. And it was Aquafaba made from unusual source and unusual ingredients as well. So again, it was totally Scottish. It was looking at why it wasn't working, which was a puzzle, which is something I love, the investigation side of MPD work, the looking into why something didn't happen when it should be happening and figuring out what you can do. So again, that was really, really interesting for me as a chef, getting that to work. What else? I suppose, again, one I'm currently working on that I'm really enjoying is a low-calorie chocolate bar. Again, it's looking at replacement ingredients, looking at, food functionality, food formulation, functional ingredients. So, again, food science, really, really interesting. You know, I really enjoy that. And I suppose also to go back to seaweed again, it would have to be the fish pate as well, because that linked into a whole big research project that we did. We were looking at, again, tied in with the functionality of seaweed, which again went back to the food drink. So there's been many, many memorable ones, and they're all enjoyable for different reasons. But if I had to pick favourites, those would be my, you know, those would be my kind of top five, I suppose, five or six. But don't ask me to narrow it down any further because I don't think I could. Post-COVID, I think diversification is going to be really, really important. I think companies are going to need to have more than one string to the bow. I think if you're in the food service, you're going to need to look at what else you can do. I think healthy food is here today. It's something that's been, it's not so much a trend now. I think it's almost a fact of life. It is that every project that we do, almost the first words out of the client's mouth is, I want to make this healthier. I want to reduce fat. I want to reduce sugar. You know, I want to find healthy ingredients for doing it. For a while, it was local. I guess local food provenance is still there. Again, it's not something that's going to go away. I don't think it's so much a trend. I think these things start off as trends, but then just become part and parcel of everyday life. So healthiness, provenance, I suppose the next big thing would be plant-based. I mean, plant-based has been growing over the last 2 to 3 years, and certainly we've seen an explosion of that in the food and drink MPD, where a lot of the projects we get asked to do now are plant-based. You look at what we've done over the last 3 or 4 years, you count the number of plant-based recipes that we've done. There was a cuckoo, there was most of the chocolate bars. Again, they're looking at getting away from using animal fats and trying to find plant-based alternatives, you know, oat milks, you know, you name it, we've done it. So I think plant-based is here to stay, healthy foods, and like I said, diversification, you know, changing, being able to adapt to what the world is, because who knows what's around the corner? Who knows what the next 6 months are going to bring, let alone the next 2 years? You know, if I had a crystal ball and I knew what the next big trend was going to be, I'd be on it, because then I'd be sitting on a Caribbean island or playing golf somewhere, you know, but I haven't. But I think it's going to be one of those. You know, like I said, healthy is here to stay, but diversification is certainly key to the way things are going. I like to look at plant-based alternatives to meat. Well, we've had a couple of near misses with companies that have spoken to us about it, but we've never really, really kind of been given the opportunity. I'd like to do some more. I'd like to look at, you know, replacing nitrates in food, in curing and marinating of meats. I'd like to see if there's alternative to using chemicals in that process. From a food science, from a formulation, and also if I could be the guy that could prove that you didn't need to put saltpeter to make cured salami or cured hams in that, or pump bacon full of sodium nitrate, then that would be great, you know. So I guess that as well. But these things take years and you know, millions of, or hundreds of thousands of pounds in research, and it's a big commitment from the company. So I would love to come up with a plant-based meat alternative for something. You know, I know burgers have been done, or maybe sausages, or I don't know. I'd love to do something like that. I'd love to come across, you know, a plant-based alternative meat product, or curing, you know, looking at the functionality, using seaweed, one of our favorite ingredients, and seeing, because I believe there's so much potential in seaweed. And it's something that we've got an abundance off the coast here in Scotland, and it, you know, I think it'd be proved if you could prove that you could use seaweed, if the functionality was there for it to be used as a preservative, as a shelf life extender. I think that would just be amazing. That would be a game changer, I think, for a lot of food manufacturers. You know, I mean, I know a lot of research has been done and none of it has been conclusive, but if, you know, if someone was to come to us and say, you know, could you prove that I could do my bacon and not put it in sodium nitrate, and I could use seaweed to cure it? Yeah, you know, I'd jump on that. I think that would be exciting. But you know, like I said, it was a really hard question to think of, because we've done so many things, but those two, you know, development of a plant-based meat alternative, and also using seaweed as a functional ingredient. You know, that would be the two things that I think would really, really, that's what I like to get my teeth stuck into.
Thanks very much for joining us for this podcast on new product development for the food and drink industry. You can find our website at www.sruc.ac.uk, and on the food and drink pages you'll find all of the resources that were mentioned, and also contact details for Alistair and Kerry. So please don't hesitate to get in touch with us if we can help you with your project. If you're just interested in keeping abreast with what's going on in industry and what kind of things we're working on, then please follow us on our social channels. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram, and we are SRUC Food and Drink. Thanks again for your time, and get going with those projects.